Bonjour à tous. Thank you for joining us for the media availability on the OC Transpo Transit Recovery Plan. Merci de vous joindre à nous pour le point de presse sur le plan de reprise des services de transport en commun d'OC Transpo. Before we begin, as usual, I'd like to go over a few items. A reminder to place your mic on mute until I invite you to ask your question. To view the city official who is speaking on Zoom, please put your view on speaker view instead of gallery view. The button for this is located on the top right corner of your Zoom video screen. Veuillez changer votre écran au mode speaker en anglais pour pouvoir mieux voir les porte-paroles. Le bouton est situé en haut à la droite de la portion vidéo de l'écran. So available for questions from the media, we have Alan Hooley, Chair, Transit Commission, President, Commission du Transport en commun. John Manconi, General Manager, Transportation Services Department, Directeur Général, Direction Générale des Transports. Dr. Brent Maloney, Associate Medical Officer of Health, Ottawa Public Health, Santé Publique Ottawa. Jocelyn Bégin, Manager and Strategic Advisor to the General Manager, Gestionnaire et Conseillère Stratégique du Directeur Général. Troy Charter, Director, Transit Operations, Directeur Opérations du Transport en commun. Jim Greer, Director, Transit Operations, Directeur Opérations du Transport en commun. Pat Scrimger, Director, Transit Customer Systems and Planning, Directeur Système Client et Planification du Transport en commun. Brandon Richards, Chief Safety Officer, Chef de la Sécurité. So we will now be going, inviting each agency to ask your question. We'll be going in reverse of alphabetical order today. You may ask one question with one follow-up as per usual and in the interest of time. Nous allons maintenant répondre aux questions des médias qui pourront poser une question et une question de suivi. So we'll start with Pat Ugocioni at Your Community Voice.
My first question is for Mr. Manconi. The notice of motion from Citizen Commissioner Caricato caught my attention. With tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people taking the trains and the transit stations, why has OC Transpo not yet put a tender out for advertising?
So we were following the direction that was approved by Council Transit Commission years ago. Originally, you recall that staff's recommendation was to not include advertising at all. And then it was at the time Councillor Wilkinson put forward a motion to come back after a fixed period of time, which was 1 year after full launch, which would have been September. So we were following that direction. And now what the commissioner is asking is to accelerate that process. So we were following the direction that we were given and approved by both council, Transit Commission and council members.
Okay, thanks. And my question was around the issue. I think one of the citizen commissioners asked this as well about the U-Pass. There's other jurisdictions, I think, in the province in Canada that universities and colleges have said they're going to go online. What financial hit would it be if you didn't have the revenue from UPass?
So the universities, community colleges, both Algonquin and others, combined, I think, annually, approximately in the $30 million range. That's annually. So that's part of the work that we have to do to look at what options and scenarios we could potentially be looked at. And that would form part of future updates to committee and council on the revenue gap.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Nous allons maintenant aller à Gilles Taillon, Radio-Canada.
Bonjour.
M'entendez? Oui.
Oui, OK. Alors, ma question, j'imagine c'est pour vous, M. Manconi, là, au sujet du port obligatoire de masque à bord des autobus et des trains. C'est sûrement une possibilité que des gens refusent de se prêter à cette obligation-là. Alors, comment vous allez faire pour vous assurer que ce soit respecté?
Bonjour, Gilles. La première chose que je dis, c'est mon opinion que nous avons une ville tellement collaborative. Tout le monde, comme le docteur a dit durant la réunion, tout le monde a respecté l'importance de les choses comme social distancing et d'être dans la maison, choses comme ça. Les résidents d'Ottawa sont tellement sincères à faire leur part d'ajouter cette grosse pandémie. Alors, je pense qu'avec leur propre communication, le dialogue, les idées que les membres de la Transport Commission ont données aujourd'hui, les idées des citoyens, les résidents, comme l'homme qui a parlé de accessibility, nous mettent toutes ces idées ensemble et avec le support de Monsieur Maloney, Brent et Dr. Etches, ils sont tellement respectés dans leur business que les résidents de la ville, la majorité, la gros majorité de les résidents de la ville vont respecter ces règles, pas parce que c'est obligatoire, mais parce qu'on a beaucoup de compassion avec l'autre résident qu'on veut faire non pas d'être le système.
D'accord, merci. Monsieur Mahoney, est-ce que vous parlez français? Do you speak French?
Not much, but I'll do my best to understand.
Okay, it's all right. Well, my question would be more around the, you know, are you somewhat worried that there will be more positive cases after the return of more service from OC Transport? Do you feel that having more people in the bus, having more people in the train, even though they will be wearing masks, is a risk for more cases in Ottawa?
Okay, yeah, no, thank you, Gilles, for that question. I think it's bigger actually than transit here. As we reopen our businesses and other settings going forward, while there's still COVID in the community, we're walking a very fine balance between trying to open up socially and economically, which is really, really important, but at the same time, trying to prevent a resurgence of the virus. And because we don't want, you know, a repeat of the wave where the virus is replicating every and doubling in cases every 3 or 4 days. So I think we need to do all that we can everywhere to prevent transmission. That includes when we're out shopping. It includes employers, how they design the workplace to prevent transmission there. And of course, some of the settings that have had outbreaks, we need to do all we can to fix those prevent them in the future. Now, with respect to transit, you know, as soon as we learned that as ridership increases, physical distancing will not be possible, we really need to take a comprehensive approach to reduce the risk of transmission. The reality is that transit use in a city is fundamental for the functioning of that city, for people to get to work, to be able to access services and appointments, go to school, etc. So In working with OC Transpo, we really wanted to see, you know, what can we do to reduce the risk of transmission? And certainly part of that is widespread use of masks in all those that can, recognizing that there will be some for medical reasons or other that they can't. And really, as Mr. Manconi was just saying, this is really about the community and us, you know, who are using transit to protect each other. That, you know, when I wear a mask on transit, I'm helping to protect those around me, and that that those who you know, other riders who are wearing masks are protecting myself and others. And you know, if you have widespread mask use in a population, you can have definite impact in reduce. So that's why it's important that we achieve widespread mask use on transit going forward when it's not possible to maintain distancing.
All right, thank you. Merci.
Merci beaucoup. So moving on, we will go to John Willing, Ottawa Citizen. Sorry, just one moment. I see John Williams trying to reconnect. So, John, are you with us?
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, I just got in now. I don't know if this has been asked, but I'd love to hear some more insight into the working from home and how's that going to impact transit planning, especially going into, Mr. Manconi, going into 2020. 21.
John, yeah, no, great question. Look, everybody's looking for that crystal ball. I'm already into 2021, 2022, to be frank with you. Taking a long view into this, I know Mr. Kanellakis is having discussions with the federal government. When he has those, he'll certainly report through to council as to what that looks like. We're also reaching out to the universities, employers, and, you know, following certain things like Shopify announcing that they're going to be working from home until certainly the new year. So we're putting all that intel in there. But as I said at the commission, it's also an opportunity to do incrementally the right things to make transit even more attractive when the ridership comes back, and in whatever form that is, and things like the open payment initiative, we're accelerating that technology, those types of things. So it's don't have all that.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up, John?
Do you see a phasing out of the Presto card if you're talking about letting people use their credit cards and debit cards? I'm sure that's a long-term question, but you see that as a possibility?
No, it's a great question, John, and it's a now question. No, what we're looking at on the payment opportunity, I like to brand it No Wrong Door. You can pay any way you want. So the open payment we're looking at is credit, debit, Google Pay, Apple Pay, Presto cards. Eventually, everything, in my belief, should move to a mobile device. We have a lot of freedom with the system that we bought and we've implemented at LRT and eventually all BRT stations and on the buses. So it's all those things. We're trying to create a world where you can pay with any medium you want. You know, other jurisdictions have done like giveaway bracelets for special events and things like that. We already have the barcoding for special events when those come back. So it's all of those.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Kina.
Thank you very much. We will now go to Julien Paquette, Le Droit.
Hi, my first question would be for how you would characterize this measure to enforce masks into transit in Ottawa, because while we say it's mandatory, at the same time I believe very good reasons, we're not going to turn back anyone once to get in the bus, and we're not forcing anyone who has health issues to wear a mask if it could cause them harm. So how would you characterize this? Is it mandatory, or is there any way to qualify this this measure?
Well, I think with every rule, especially, you know, bylaws and rules around the city, there's always exceptions to every rule. As you heard during the commission meeting, we're asking staff to reach out to the groups that may be people that can't wear a mask, and just get their feedback on this. Like, how do they recommend us approaching this? Because there are issues that are going to come up if they're on the bus without a mask. So how do we help them with that? I think public health made it very clear that, you know, what we're doing now is great, but we have to do better, because we're about to lose the option of doing physical distancing. We're going to get the bigger crowds on the bus. So the next level of protection for our employees and for our ridership is to ask everybody to wear a mask.
Okay, thank you. And la prochaine question, ce serait pour Monsieur Manconi. Est-ce qu'il y a des prochaines phases de ce plan de relance pour répondre à l'éventualité où les gens d'Ottawa se montrent pas aussi coopérants qu'ils l'ont été jusqu'à maintenant, et que le répandu qu'on l'espère? Est-ce qu'il y a des mesures auxquelles on pense pour accélérer ça plus tard?
Oui, bonjour Julien. C'est une bonne question. C'est la demande de what if. What if le monde n'accepte pas? On va adapter. L'éducation, c'est tellement important. Si les personnes sont pas, ils confondent pas avec la règle. La demande qu'on va demander, c'est pourquoi? Is it because they don't have access to them? Is it because the heat? Is it because we haven't informed or educated them very much? Et la chose que c'est important pour moi, c'est deux choses. Le message au public aujourd'hui, c'est deux choses. On n'a pas la capacité de faire social distancing parce qu'on n'a pas six times the number of vehicles et three times the number of buses. Alors, on ne peut pas faire ça. Et l'autre chose, la masque, pour moi, c'est comme, je pense que c'était Governor Cuomo qui a dit un message, c'est un signe de respect, a sign of respect that you care about yourself, others, the community, and the control of the pandemic. And so we're really trying to reach to people's minds and their hearts about the importance of the mask. It's not about us being heavy-handed or you know, not thinking through measures. We do not have the space for social distancing. So we need to implement this measure for everyone's wellness. Et on demande que tout le monde soit tellement respectueux avec tout le monde.
Merci beaucoup. Moving on, we will go to Ted Raymond at CTV.
Hello, yes. My question is just in regards to the fines that you mentioned earlier and to go towards using that that heavy-handed approach at the start. But maybe you could just outline what sort of fine...
We are not going to be fining people. I think that would be a lead indicator of failure on our communications part and on our focus. The fines, I'll just ask Pat in a moment to if he knows off the top what the amount is, and if we don't have it, we'll get it to you. I would see that in the circumstances of where after many, many days, if not weeks, of, you know, we're doing lots of information, we're spending money to get the word out. If there is a blatant, I'm not doing this, I think, you know, for everyone's sake, we'd need to get to that position. We're not there yet. And I fundamentally believe that, you know, 99.99% of the population will totally understand this message that is being given to them, not just by transit officials, but by, as you heard today, some of the, in terms of that. And then, so we'll take it case by case, and we'll be handing out masks. You know, if you forgot yours through these situations.
Thank you. My second question is just in regards to operators, cases where operators can't wear masks for medical reasons of their own. What kind of policies are in place to protect them? In terms of maybe, you know, a customer complaint or a confrontation?
So in terms of the employees, they have to identify to us if they can't. So far, we've had none. We have had certain operators that have had some fitting issues with the masks that we've provided to them, which aren't mandatory yet. And we've accommodated them. We've had adjustments made to the masks and so forth. So again, it's a very inclusive environment where it's we want them behind the temporary shields that we've installed and wearing masks. And if they have, for some reason, a limitation that they cannot, again, so far we've not had that issue rise, but if they can't, we'll put them on alternate duties. We need people wearing masks. It's what the OPH has been saying. We all have to do our part.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So last but not least, we will go to Joanne Chianello at CBC.
Hello, everyone. Thanks very much. I'll be quick. I think this is actually for Dr. Malachny. As we move towards possibly the lifting of the state of emergencies, both possibly provincial and the local one, which is what we're moving towards, do you see the use of masks, this sort of mandatory use of masks being suggested or being recommended for the city beyond transit? I mean, you talk openly about how the more people go around, there's a fine balancing act, but as we lift more and more restrictions, do you see the kinds of measures being used for transit in 2 weeks being expanded to other parts of the city?
Yeah, thanks, Joanne, for that question. I think public health's advice all along has been, look at physical distancing, and if you can't, then wear a mask. And I think that the city and its residents, you know, are really buying into that. I mean, anecdotally, on the weekend, as I was doing shopping, I noticed that, you know, a much greater proportion of people were wearing masks around me than, say, 1 or 2 weeks ago. And this is important. I mean, one of the things I didn't mention in a previous response that occurred to me afterwards that I want to emphasize is we're a victim of our own success. I mean, in terms of the way we responded as a city when, you know, we were on the upward exponential rise of this and we instituted wide scale restrictions. And let's face it, I mean, we all did that ourselves with our families and such to put really the lockdown into place. So we managed to flatten this and get to where we are today. But the consequence of this is that the vast majority of us remain susceptible. So that's the tricky part going forward, is that there's still virus in the community and we're opening up to give it more opportunities for spread. I think that transit is a unique situation in it being a necessary service. And for many people, it's not discretionary. And so I think it's for many of those reasons and the inability to maintain distancing and then still do the operations that has, you know, led to the decision to have, you know, mandatory use in this environment. I think that for other sorts of settings, this is getting to your question, that, I think it's much easier to maintain distancing, to have physical barriers in place, as we've seen in grocery stores or cashiers or other places where distancing isn't possible and you can use physical barriers. And I think that, you know, people can choose to shop at a less busy time. And those sorts of choices aren't so open to transit users, where, you know, you have to get somewhere at a certain time and to work or what have you. So I think that for the most part, I think we will, you know, the same advice will stand, that if you can't maintain distancing, you should really be thinking of a mask, and that will be, you know, sufficient in the vast majority of settings.
My follow-up is sort of related to that. It's for a colleague, actually, and it is more of a public health question. I apologize, transit people. But having heard from companies trying to adapt to COVID regulations, what are you hearing from them? Like, what kind of concerns do you have? Are you hearing, what kind of advice are people needing? If you could talk a little bit about that generally. Thank you.
Yeah, no, sure. Because we've been working with the business community. As you may know, Ottawa Public Health partnered with the City of Ottawa to produce a business recovery toolkit, so that businesses could go through that and go through the different pieces of considerations. And there's certainly a list of them just from a public health perspective. We're working with the city's various economic recovery task forces, the mayor's economic task force, meeting with the Board of Trade and other groups. And we're receiving a number of inquiries from businesses and other settings around the city right now, and trying to provide the best advice that we can. And it's really, I think, people getting their head around this new normal as to what to do. And so there's a common list of things that organizations need to think through. One of them is, do we need everybody at work? So there's, you know, as you may have heard in the Transit Commission meeting that just occurred, I mean, there's some value for transit to avoid the volumes and peak volumes just from a crowd and opportunity for transmission. But for an individual employer, there's an advantage not to have everybody back, because then that raises issues in terms of opportunities for transmission. So if you've been able to operate with people at home and you can continue to do so, then our recommendation would be, well, we'll just do that.
Again, staggering shifts is important. How do you maintain distance in the workplace? And if you can't maintain distancing, then you're going to need to think of the use of physical barriers or masks. You need to be thinking of screening people, because just like transit, people shouldn't be going onto transit if they're sick. Well, you shouldn't be coming into the workplace if you're sick. And this is a change. Like, I mean, we had this sort of stoic society where, you know, it's just a cold, I'll go to work. Well, that's really a no-go now, because that just a cold could actually be COVID. And so you really shouldn't be going to work. So there's a whole variety of processes, and workplaces are in the best position to know how their operations work and to think through how some of these principles will apply to theirs. There's also sector-specific guidance from the government. And then I think once organizations have thought through this, then and they've questions remaining, then it's great to bounce those questions off us, and we can provide advice or clarification as they try and apply these principles to their own operations.
Thank you. And can I just get confirmation from John McConey? Ottawa is the first city in Canada to make this mandatory, masks on transit?
That was the information as of last Friday, correct, in Canada.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you, everybody, for your time today. This is all the time that we have. Merci à tout le monde pour votre temps aujourd'hui. Have a great day. Bonne journée.